Our guest speaker for this week for the Missions and Evangelism Lectureship is Dr. Brian Lamb. He was born in Hong Kong. He moved to Houston in 1975. He also studied here at Dallas Seminary. He has a Master of Theology degree from DTS and also a DMin degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. He planted Fort Bend Community Church in 1997 with a mission to pursue the heart of God through growing communities of Christ-like disciples and to reach all people. FBCC is an ethnic Chinese church with Chinese from diverse backgrounds and culture settings. Dr. Lamb also serves as an adjunct professor here at Dallas Theological Seminary in some of our programs, including the DMin program. He also teaches at Lagos Theological Seminary in Los Angeles, Christian Witness Theological Seminary in San Jose, and the China Graduate School of Theology in Hong Kong. I spoke to Dr. Lamb a few weeks back and shared with him a little bit about what's going on here at Dallas Seminary with our missions department, and I shared with him how we're expanding our scope of our department to include what's going on here in the United States and intercultural ministries here and not just overseas ministries or missions as traditionally has been understood. And as I shared that with him, I was really excited about what he's going to share with us this week, because his topic has to do with a lot of what's going on here in the U.S. and right around our communities. And so also I wanted to introduce to you his wife, Lily, who's with us. Lily, would you stand for a moment? So Dr. Lamb, we are honored to have you. Welcome, and we look forward to your words this week.
Good morning. It's so good to be here. I grew up in the church. I am a third generation Christian. My grandmother brought me to the church. As far as I can remember, I am in the church every week. Now I become a pastor. For the last 30-some years, I go to church almost every day. And I get paid for going to church. So I love the church, really. Now, I have attended four churches in my life. The first one, the church I grew up with in Hong Kong. Then I came to Houston, go to college, and then the church later on, after seminary, I served for 15 years. That's the second church. And the third church I attended was when I was in seminary in Dallas for 4 years. And the last one was a church I'm serving right now, started 1997, 22 years ago. So I'm a church fan. And then second, I'm an Astro fan. But I'm a church fan. I really love the church. It is the body of Christ, and Paul said, through the church, the wisdom of God may be made known to the rulers and authority in the heavenly places. What a tremendous responsibility. Now, through the church, the gospel is going to preach to all nations. Evangelism and mission is through the church. So today, this week, we talk about missions and evangelism. But we'll talk about the church. Now, as I look around on Sunday morning at the people who come to church, I can't help but really agree with Yancy about this. I think God is taking a tremendous risk on the church. Now, if you look carefully in the church today, God stick his eternal plan, his hope and dreams on us. Now, he has assumed a great risk. If the church fails, God fails. He has no other plan, no backup plan. God does not renew himself anymore in the world through pillar of fire and smoke. Not even through the physical body of his son in Galilee. But it is through the people sitting in the church every Sunday. Now, what a heavy responsibility that we have. God wants the church to be his witness on earth. He has a purpose for us. He gathered us so that he can scatter us to the rest of the world to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to all nations. Now, this few days, we'll look at the local church and our mission to be gathered in the name of God in order to be scattered for the name of God. We'll look at the opportunity before us in the local communities and also in global missions. Now, today, we'll look at Acts 13, the church in Antioch. This is a church in is an ancient Greek city in the northern Turkey, about 12 miles from the sea. It's a major city. Already in 5th century BC, it was on the Persian royal road in a very key passage, to Europe, to Africa, in the ancient Silk Road. In the 1st century, the church already is a major, major city. The third largest city in the Roman Empire. The population is about 500,000. So it's a major international, major metropolitan. Now in Acts 10, Stephen was murdered. The church in Jerusalem was scattered. Chapter 11, verse 19, talk about this. They were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen. They make their way to different parts of the world and then to Antioch. First, they spoke to the word to no one except the Jews alone. From the Jews to the Jews, very natural. The scattered Jews speaking to gather all the Jews together for the gospel. Now, it is easy to speak to people of your own ethnic group. For many years as a Chinese church, we are a Chinese church. 98% are Chinese. We go to Brazil to speak to the Chinese in Brazil. We go to German for mission, Germany, and we speak to the Chinese in Germany. We go to East Asia, and we find the Chinese there and speak the gospel to the Chinese in East Asia. Now, we have a very good excuse. God makes so many Chinese. So, of course, it's our responsibility to go find Chinese and evangelize the Chinese. We are really, really ethnocentric with an excuse. Now, verse 20, it talks about something happened. They gather to be scattered. Verse 20. It talks about then some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus to them. Now, we thank God for this nameless group of men. They were the first group of people who bring the gospel across the Jewish racial barrier to the Gentiles. Antioch became the first Gentile church. They went out, preached the gospel to the Greek also. Now, when FBCC was started 22 years ago, we were mainly from Taiwan and from Hong Kong. And now the church has changed. The world has changed. Now, 80% of us are from mainland China. The gospel is for all to hear. We don't choose our audience. We don't choose our target. We go and make disciples of all who are willing to hear. Now, the church in Jerusalem was scattered when the church was born. The Lord added numbers to them rapidly. Now they were scattered in order to gather more people in different parts of the world, including the Gentiles and the Greek. And now they sent Barnabas from Jerusalem to Antioch, who was a good man filled with the Spirit, to oversee this expansion to the ministry to the Gentiles. Barnabas finds Saul and then brought him with him to Antioch to minister there for over a year. The disciples were first named Christian in Antioch. Christian, little Christ. This group of Christian was not from one ethnic group. They are not only Jewish, but they're also Greek. They were also black, they're also white and yellow. Now, any name according to ethnicity was no longer relevant. So a new name was created. They were identified for one thing, for the common characteristic. This common characteristic is they are follower of Christ. So they were called Christian for the first time, because no more ethnic identity. They come together, gather together, because Jesus is Lord. So verse 13, chapter 13, talk about this church. In the church there was there prophets and teachers. These were leaders. Five were named. Most likely, three among the five were Jewish, and then two other were Gentiles. They come from different places. They come from different origins. They have different ethnicity background. Now they gather together and become a team serving together. Now, believe me, it is not that easy. A multi-ethnic team put together from different background, different color of their skins, working together, serving together. It is not easy. The first one was Barnabas, the son of encouragement, a native of Cyprus, and a Levi, a Jew, a member of the early Christian community in Jerusalem. He was sent to Antioch to oversee the mission to the Gentiles. He was the leader of the five. His name was placed in the first place. Now, then Saul was mentioned at the end of the five names of the list. The first and the last one are the most important ones. They are the leaders among the pack. The five of them, Barnabas and Saul. The second one was Simeon, a Hebrew's name, who was called Niger, presumably a black African. The first Gentile leader named it in the book of Acts. Now the third leader, Lucius of Cyrene, from northern Africa. He may well be one of those nameless men from Cyrene in northern Africa, and then share the gospel to the Gentile in Antioch. The fourth leader was Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was personally questioning Jesus in his trial. Remember that? Now his foster brother, Manaen, become a follower of Christ and become a leader in the church of Antioch. Now, five very interesting leaders. They were truly multi-ethnic. Jews, Africans, white and black, multi-nationality, Romans and Jews and Greek, multicultural, multilingual, and multi-social economic status. They gathered together because of one reason: to lead the church, to go out for the non-members of the church. Acts 13 teaches us mission and evangelism cross-culturally is a must. Just imagine, we gather in order to scatter, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to all nations. If there's no cross-cultural mission or evangelism, a cross-racial barrier, there's no you and me today. The gospel still will be Jewish gospel. Always Jewish, remain Jewish, stay Jewish. You and I will be nowhere to be found. Now, I don't believe the church in Antioch provide us with a biblical mandate for a multi-ethnic church. He's not talking about that. It's not talking about a church model. We build a church with multi-ethnic in mind. But I think here is the emphasis here. It's about missions across racial barriers, cross-culturally. It's a must. This is what we learn in that. I'll share a little bit more later on. Now, recently, I did an online test. Now they call CQ, cultural intelligence quotient. We have EQ, we have IQ, and now we have CQ. Do you know your CQ score? There are four aspects they will test you in four areas. Now, a major company, international company, when you apply for their job, they will give you a CQ test. It's very important for any successful employee of those major companies to be able to do things cross-culturally. The CQ drive, your interest, your drive, your confidence to adapt in a multicultural situation. CQ knowledge, your understanding about how cultures are similar and different. CQ strategy, your awareness to plan for multicultural interactions. When you see a different person from a different ethnic group, would you go across the room and speak to him or her? Or you find everywhere, just like me, find a Chinese to speak to the Chinese because we feel comfortable in our own ethnicity. CQ action, your ability to adapt when relating and working interculturally. Now, to engage in multicultural evangelism and mission, you need to increase your CQ. God put us in a multicultural county. Fort Bend County, the church that we're at, is the most ethnical diverse county in the nation. According to the survey or the census, federal census in 2010. If you look at the chart, the place where I live, only 36% are Anglo, 20% African-American, 24% Latino, and 19% Asian, Indian, Filipino, Chinese, Korean, big community in Houston. Now, chapter 13, verse 2, we talk about God. Verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting together, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid hand on them, Barnabas and Saul, and they send them away. So the church in Antioch gathered together in the name of Christ, worshiping, Bible study, and all that. And now God wants to scatter them, to send them out, set them apart. Barnabas and Paul, two of their top leaders, maybe their senior pastor, plus the future senior pastor. So they send them out. It's a command from the Holy Spirit. It is his idea. It is his desire to send them apart. Send them, scatter them. For what? For the work to which I have called them. Why send them apart? It is for me, God said. It is for God to set them apart. Then the church responded with obedience. They sent them away with three actions. Three participles: fasting, praying, laying of hands, commissioning them to go out. This is the rest of the book, Acts chapter 13 to 28, is a result of this gathering, of this commission. Of this sending, the church was planted throughout the known world at that time. It was the beginning of the great missionary movement, bringing the gospel to the end of the world. Now, when Jesus went to heaven, he gave us this great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. It's always our looking. The church exists not for the people inside, but for its non-members, for people outside of the church. Go, make disciples of all nations. Now, in the first church, first Gentile church, the Holy Spirit did the same. He gathered them together to worship, to know God, then commissioned them to scatter them to the rest of the world for its non-members, people who are yet in the church. Now, throughout the church history, the Holy Spirit never stopped scattering us. We love together. We love to sit together, eat some Chinese fried rice. We love to do good work. We love to have fellowship. We love to sing together. But it's God's desire. The purpose of the church is not for the members inside. We exist for its non-members. Now, last August, I had the opportunity to visit Liban, a mission in Germany. Let me see if I find this slide. Yeah. Liban Seller Mission in Germany. It's a mission agency. They are multinational mission agency. They have sent right now 220 missionaries to 26 countries. They have a theological seminary there with over 200 students. A missionary retirement home. The missionary retire from the mission field, they come and live here. What do they do there? Not waiting to die. They live there to pray. It becomes a prayer center. They receive all these special prayer requests from all over the world, from the missionary, and then this prayer center, mainly the retired missionary, pray day and night for the gospel to be preached to all nations. They also have a mission museum. For the last 100 years, they send out missionaries. Some die, and then they have the picture there, and they collect different kind of artifacts or they brought from mission field. A little place, but a mission museum. Wonderful place. Now, the most interesting one is this place. Now, it's not me. I'm not talking about me. You look at the cross. This is the place they send out missionary. Every missionary go out, they will gather together in this place, in front of the cross, and then pray for them, lay your hand on them, commission them. They gather for one purpose, is to be scattered and bring the gospel to all nations. Louis Palau once said, the church is like manure. Sorry. Pile it up, it stinks up the neighborhood. Spread it out, it becomes compost and it enriches the world. Now, too often the church refuses to spread out. We love gathering together. It's not easy to gather people anyway. So when we gather, we stick together. My church, or a lot of churches, spend major effort, 80-90% of our resources and effort, gathering together. Of things we do together, worship, Bible study, all of that. It's not bad, but we spend most of our energy inside. We are very busy people. You look at my schedule. Very busy people. But what do? We gather. We love to gather. Most of the church members are coming to the church. Very few are going out to the rest of the world for the non-members of the church. A few years ago, I visited a church in Birmingham. I'm not going to name that church because you're going to know that church. Birmingham, Alabama. The church, very interesting. The church is a missional church. At the end of each of their worship services, they have 5-6 worship services. In each of the worship services, at the end, everybody stand up and recite the Great Commission. Not benediction. No. They stand up and then everybody recite the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. The vision of the church is to scatter every member to go to mission. They send tons of short-term missionary to go to mission. Short-term, they send a lot of mid-termer, 3 months up to 2 years. And they also send long-term missionary out. The Sunday I was there, they lay hand of a lay couple and the family. I think with three children, young children. Commission them and they go to a mission field for 2 years. Now, I was told, before all this happened, when this senior pastor came 4 years ago, the church has 8,000 members. But when he talked about missions, he wants everyone to go on missions, the church now only has 4,000. Half of the members left. This is not for me. This is not for me. I come here to worship. I love singing. I come into Bible study. Going out to the mission field, not for me. Bye-bye. I'm gone. From 8,000 church member, 8,000 member church to 4,000. Going out, it's not easy, but it's God's plan. It's God's plan. Now, Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher and minister, wrote a story called Tame Geese. Imagine this group of geese, went to church every week. Every week, they were inspired by a powerful, motivating sermon by the high goose. The sermons always went the same. The high goose would tell the assembled geese of their high destiny, about a high goal the Creator has appointed them, and then give them wings so they can fly. And he said all of that. The geese in the congregation would clap their wings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are created by the Creator with all this great potential, flying high to the end of the world. With their wings, the high goose told them they could fly anywhere they wanted around the world. They were very pleased to hear that. And each week after church, they dispersed. The geese would waddle home. After hearing and understanding such a powerful message about the opportunity available to them, they seemed to ignore it. They didn't fly home. The message made no impact on their lives. They continued to do what they had always done. They wanted home. Now, why didn't these geese fly? Our problem is not one of ignorance. In fact, it's very surprising how much we really know already. Our problem is one of action. That is action at what we know. Every one of us here know about the Great Commission. Recite the Great Commission. But the problem is unacting. Now, I think the church has a problem. The church problem, the key is you. If the church is the hope of the world, the key is its leaders. You, pastor, future pastor, especially the senior pastor, we must be the change we want to see. We must be the one who are willing to go out and be scattered. It starts with you. It starts with you. When was the last time we go out and do evangelism? When was the last time we go out to the mission and share the gospel? Now, I'm going to share a little bit about our church story. Our church first started in 1997. We want to reach our community to reflect the community in ethnicity, in this diverse ethnicity. So we had the vision of a multi-ethnic church. We have a Mandarin service, we have a Cantonese service to serve the Cantonese, we also have an English service, which we want to reach the people in the community. On Sunday, we serve lunch, Chinese food, pizza, and Italian food. We invited our mayor and city council to attend our church. We thought this would be like heaven when we all live together, praising God with all kinds of people. We tried very, very hard for 10 years. We gave everything that we had for a multi-ethnic ministry to reflect the community. The church grew from 250 to over 1,000 in 10 years. The Chinese were coming to know Christ. The Chinese community was booming, boom, 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 boom. We baptized almost 100 Chinese every year, the first 10 years. But the non-Chinese congregation was mainly from transfer growth. Non-Chinese come from other churches who have no conversion growth. Now, the front door was wide open. The back door is also wide open. Eventually, the non-Chinese stopped coming. They see all this sea of black hair. So they say, nah, nah, nah. So Fort Bend County is the most ethnically diverse, yet on Sunday, it is still mostly segregated. Now, we're now 90% Chinese, a few non-Chinese. We accept our identity, our effectiveness in reaching the Chinese, but we have never given up cross-cultural evangelism and missions. Being the same church has a lot of cultural barrier, but it doesn't mean we cannot go out, still fulfill the Great Commission, do mission cross-culturally, interculturally, and evangelism. We learn to engage in an ethnically diverse community. We engage an Indian church, Asian, another Asian group, and let them use our facility. Two churches. So we allow them to use the facility. We have a food fair every month, distributing food to over 100 Hispanic families. We become friends. We build houses for a Cambodia community not far from us. They were affected by the flood 2 years ago, Harvey. So we find them, we serve them, the Cambodian community. We send 25% of our adults and youth every year to go to short-term mission all over the world every year. We send our own missionary to the mission field. Next year, we're going to send one of our best staff and his family to go to Peru. We recruit a young pastor from China with mission-minded and then send him to Dallas for training. And then we mentor them, we help them, we talk to them, we mentor them. And then they go back to China to plant missional churches. The church is the hope of the world. If our mission is not just scattered together, if our mission is to be scattered for the sake of the gospel, it must start now. Start with you. Start with you. If the church is the hope of the world, the key is you. You, now. One day, when you graduate, become pastor, teachers, senior pastor, it is the church that you're going to lead that's going to be missional. The world awaits the church to participate, to bring the gospel to all nations. Amen.